This meeting is now being recorded.
Welcome all to the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 Jurisdiction Subgroup Meeting Number 35, June 14th, 2017 at 300 UTC. We have the agenda before us. We've covered item one already with the welcome. And number two, a review of the agenda. We have number three, our usual administration items. Number four, a review of the decision and action items from the last call. We will be following up on the scope discussion from our last call. We have two items of ICANN litigation to review, and one questionnaire response as well, and AOB. So there are any, and of course, a note that we have one meeting after this before ICANN 59, which will be next Tuesday. Are there any comments on the agenda? Well, if there are no comments on the agenda, we'll move into the administration. First, does anybody have any changes to their statement of interest? David McCauley, please go ahead.
Greg, thanks. David McCauley here. I simply wanted to introduce two interns who are working with me at VeriSign this summer, and they will be on the call separately. They were with me last week, so their names didn't show up in Adobe, but they're separately attending this week, Garrett Hink and Jonathan Peister. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, David, and welcome to the interns. So hope they find this a worthwhile exercise. Any changes to statements of interest? See none. We'll see. We have no phone number only participants. All names. Is there anybody who is only on the audio bridge? Caboose, your hand is up.
Greg, I hear you very poorly. When David spoke, the quality was good. And the level of the voice was good, but when you're speaking is too low, and I hardly understand that. By the way, I am in a conference center in Canada. The line may not be good, and if I speak a little bit loudly, please do not interpret that in any way that I am shouting. Just I want to be clear. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Caboose. I will, I'm trying to speak right into my microphone, but the sound is still bad. Let me know and I can make some adjustments. And your situation in the conference is noted as well. So let's move into the review of decisions. And maybe I'm too close to the mic. Here is the review of decisions. We did not have any decisions on last week's call. We did have two action items. First was the staff prepare a form letter or email for the rapporteur. with regard to the decision to invite people through the let me know, is it background noise that's a problem, or is it that I'm too low? Please let me know.
It's just poor quality, Greg. Your sound is
okay.
Low, and it's very staticky for some reason.
It must be a bad connection. Maybe I'll try dialing in, I guess. It's the same phone and the same issue that the same phone and the same connection that I have every week. So,
well, right now, if you're speaking up, it's not too bad. So let's try and keep up with this for now.
Okay. Well, we'll see what's happening. Okay. Next, there's the second action item was to circulate a new draft of questions, the subgroup, based on input from the discussion prior to the next meeting. Well, I circulated the rather large chart of all the positions that were suggested on the prior call. It was essentially kind of raw data from the prior call. And then yesterday I circulated what I called the distillation of those positions, since a number of those positions was a number of those positions were essentially redundant or overlapping. Just to clarify one thing about that, the distillation document, each entry in that one is meant to be read independently. I saw that when Parminder was reviewing it, he felt that one entry was burdened, to use his term, by another. In fact, they're all independent, except obviously Tiago submitted a revision to one of the statements, and that obviously is related to the other statement in that manner. In any event, if we could actually put up the distillation document, that would be helpful. Ooh, that's very small. I guess when I sent it around, the markup was not in the margin. In any case, we had a note from Jorge Concio that he was unable to attend the meeting because he had a face-to-face IGF meeting that was in conflict with this, but asked that his position would be noted. His position is in the upper right-hand corner here. And so just to briefly run through his position, read it out, essentially that we need to stick to the mandate given to the CCWG Workstream 2 by the chartering organization. The decision whether something is in or out of scope should be based on that mandate, should be considered in light of the specific facts of the case, and should be decided prima facie by the CCWG plenary. The subgroup may reach ex post, i.e., case by case, its own understanding vis-a-vis. I've lost the document in the Adobe Connect. One second, please. Okay. So the subgroup may reach ex post, i.e., case by case, its own understanding vis-a-vis a given case where there would be a question of in or out of scope. But I don't think we should lose time on developing an ex ante position of the subgroup in general terms. To distill that down further, let's say that Jorge is not in favor of deciding in either fashion, either or not, looking at the jurisdiction of ICANN as being in California, is in or out of scope, or should or shouldn't be considered, but rather that should be done on a case-by-case basis, depending on the question. So I would see that as essentially a version of what Jorge is saying. So I have a hand up from Thomas Rickard, our esteemed co-chair. Thomas, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Greg. And hello, everyone, again. A few points. I think it was excellent of Greg to compile all the various formulations that members of the sub-team proposed on last week's call, and it was good that he also honored Jorge's request to add his suggestion to the table. And actually, if you look at the table, there are a lot of options on it, which I think shows is excellent as a starting point for further debate on this. But given the fact that this group has discussed this issue for months now, and some who are following this group are characterizing these discussions as moving in circles, I think we need something simpler to resolve the issue and be able to move on and complete the work. And that is why the co-chairs, so that would be Leon, Jordan, and myself, asked Greg for a phone call, which we held earlier this week, in order to suggest to him, and he thankfully had no issue with our recommendation, that we should actually apply in this very situation the working method that I outlined during last week's call, and which I'm going to read again from the transcript so that everyone is aware of what was discussed last week. I said, let me just remind you of the way we operated in Workstream 1 when it came to very challenging junctions during the process. You might remember that we had different governance models, a supervisory board, and all sorts of different legal formats that we could use for ICANN. What we did at the time, when we had different options at our fingertips, we would test the waters with the group and say, well, which of the options that we have in front of us do get traction? And we would only pursue those options that got sufficient traction. And ultimately, we ended up with the concept that we enshrined in the Workstream 1 document. It looks to me a little like we're at such junction in this debate. There are obviously participants in this working group who would like to explore further whether there should be immunity for ICANN, whether the legal format should be changed. There are others who would like to explore other places of incorporation, and there are still others who would like to maintain the status quo and test during the work whether all accountability features that the accountability working group might be looking for can be supported by the system. What I suggest doing, and I guess pretty much in line with Greg's intention, is that we test the water in terms of what option get most traction. And what we see, and we've taken a look at what's been discussed over the last couple of months, is that we as co-chairs do see a result emerging whereby most traction in the sub-team is given to a solution where we take Californian jurisdiction as a baseline for the recommendations, and that the sub-team will not pursue recommendations to change ICANN's jurisdiction of incorporation or headquarters location or seek immunity for ICANN. That is certainly recognizing that there are no no chance, if you look at the various options that we have, that there would be consensus for an immunity-based concept or a change of place of incorporation. And so I would establish in the minutes of this call that we focus on the solution that gets most traction, recognizing that this does not eliminate, as I think Avi said during last week's call, that we can discuss all issues that might arise during the deliberation, but that we actually focus on the status quo being Californian law and place of incorporation and California, and work on solutions that are founded on this very recommendation. And this will be presented to the plenary, and the plenary can then chime in. And for those who support an alternative recommendation, this is also something that we've used multiple times in the past. There is the option to add a minority statement to the CCWG Workstream 2 report for the jurisdiction section that some of you might have had different opinions on this very topic. And then ultimately the community also gets the opportunity to chime in. But I would really like us to focus on a solution based on what I've outlined before, so that the group can continue with its work plan and hopefully complete its work in time, as we've discussed, so that with the extension by 1 year, we actually get the whole report done. So I'd like to thank you for listening to me with such a long statement. Rest assured that we have carefully analyzed what's been discussed in this group. We have carefully balanced various views and taken a look at what might be the outcome of test consensus calls. And this is the result that the co-chairs favored procedurally. And as I said, this was not to bypass Greg, but actually this is in support with Greg, who is chairing this group so ably. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Thomas. I think that is a worthwhile an appropriate approach, as you indicated, is the approach we've been taking throughout the CCWG. We have a queue. Rather than commenting further, I'll hear from members of the group, starting with Tiago. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is Tiago speaking. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Thomas, for your observations. I have to leave before the end of the hour, so I apologize in advance. First, a couple of comments on the two documents you circulated in the mailing list, Greg, in which you attempted to put together different approaches to either the mandate or the work of the subgroup. I think at the end I'll get to Thomas' observations. So I said before, and I'll say it again, I see a problem in the way your document presents the different approaches, because, as I said, they treat different problems as if they were the same, at the same level. There is the problem of issues that the group has to identify, and there is also the problem of the remedies that the group has to come up with to solve or mitigate issues previously identified by the group. This is what I meant when I said that the document was conflating remedies with issues. And that is not just, and this is not just a procedural objection that I raised. There is also a problem of substance, or the procedural problems that I identify have an impact, I think, in our ability to discuss substance in this subgroup. To me, it is quite obvious that our ability to determine which remedy is appropriate depends on our previous knowledge of what the issues are, what the problems are, what the disease is. Only knowing what issues need to be remedied can we decide whether or not one remedy is appropriate. Or, to use Thomas' expression, can we decide whether one remedy gets more traction than the other. So this is a matter of logic, and it was particularly incorporated in our work plan, which I quoted and shared in the mailing list. And apparently there was consensus supporting that work plan. Now, our mandate is also quite clear that we should discuss remedies, identify them, see whether and why they would solve problems or not. And obviously, we must do that before rejecting any possible remedy. If you allow me, let me walk you through the CCWG final report, which is a document of reference for our mandate. If you look at Annex 12, paragraph, page 7, in the relevant part titled Jurisdiction, and there's this paragraph 29, and I'll quote it. The CCWG accountability has acknowledged that jurisdiction is a multi-layered issue that has identified the following layers. One of these layers is, and I quote, place and jurisdiction of incorporation and operations, right? Next in the detailed summary of our mandate, there is paragraph 30, which says that the main issues among which place and jurisdiction of incorporation need to be investigated within Workstream 2 as long as they relate to the influence or have an impact on ITAN's ability to operate. This is at paragraph 30 of the jurisdiction section in Annex 12. So we have to discuss issues that relate to place of jurisdiction of incorporation. And after that, you will all see that there is also this, still in paragraph 30, this sentence which says, consideration, it's bullet point one, if you will, and I quote, consideration of jurisdiction in work stream two includes identifying potential alternatives and benchmarking them. So obviously, as I said before we are in a position to identify potential alternatives, and even to reject any of such alternatives, we have to discuss remedies. Finally, if I can add a quick word before releasing the microphone, a quick word in the document you prepared, Greg, titled Distillation of Positions, which should consolidate the different approaches suggested thus far. So to me, this document is even more problematic than the previous one, because again, it conflates remedies with issues, but also because there is no longer any separation under different headings of proposals that, for example, relate to the definition of our mandate, and proposals, on the other hand, that relate to the way forward of our work. In the previous document, if you recall, there was this heading 1, which was titled, I suppose, focus of the mandate, or what's the mandate of the group, or limitations to the group's mandate, and heading number 2, which related to the work of the subgroup. My suggestion that I shared with you with drafted changes in the mailing list was particularly concerning the approach that the working group should follow, rather than having any implications as regards our mandate. Again, it is not necessary, in my understanding, to reject any remedies outhand to be able to consider the issues that would arise if we were to follow the approach that I suggested with those changes. I think it's quite clear that there is nothing preventing us at this point in time from discussing what is the impact as far as jurisdiction is concerned if we consider what the situation currently is. We don't have to speculate what the solutions will be. And it was the approach adopted by the group that should have been adopted by the group if we were to follow the work plan that we adopted in the past. I've spoken quite enough. If I may end with a suggestion now, what I would propose, if I may, would be to focus on these contentious issues, which is the place of incorporation and location of ITAN, but from the point of view of identifying what are the problems that arise from these various situations, without any consideration about the remedies at this point. It's too early for that. We don't have enough material for knowing what remedies will be the most appropriate. So I think, I would like to end with that. The approach that I suggested, that is displayed in the screen, is obviously without prejudice to what comes after the identification of issues. And I think it is very much in line with what Jorge said in his proposal, that we should not adopt or develop any ex-ante position that would tie our hands in relation to our ability to fulfill the mandate, which includes the identification of potential alternatives. Thank you.
Thank you, Thiago. I think you've explained your position amply. Just a couple of quick responses since we have a long line. First, in our work plan, item 4D calls for this very discussion of scope, so we are complying with our work plan in discussing this. That's just to respond to the idea that we somehow veered off from our work plan. And in terms of the distillation documents, these are positions that have been suggested. I didn't want to prejudice them by trying to organize them in a one fashion or another, because that would characterize them. So I was trying to remain as neutral as possible so that people could consider them. I have a question for you, Thiago. In a sense, we've moved on from the distillation document to Thomas's intervention as kind of being the question before us. So I'd like to see actually if you have a comment on that directly so that we don't kind of lose that as the point of our discussion.
Am I allowed to answer your question now?
No, please go ahead.
So my impression, and thank you, my impression at this point, and I reserve my position for a later development, if you will, is that Thomas' suggestion, again, relates to remedies. It has an impact on remedies. I think it's too, I wouldn't say it's too early, but if it's too early, it's because the group has not done its work as it should be doing. But again, I only arrived at this working group, I think, at a later stage. It's too late to say anything about this. But Thomas' suggestion would, again, focus on remedies. So we would be, as I understood it, seeing what remedies, what solutions get most traction, whether this is immunity, whether this is a change of place of incorporation. And again, have we finished our examination of the issues? We haven't even finished discussing the questions. There are cases that need to be discussed. And other issues that have arisen in the mailing list. So that's why I think it's not the way forward to look at which solutions have traction until we haven't finished our task of identifying the problems. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Thiago. I guess I would say that's more of a procedural objection. The substance of his statement was that some of those solutions that you mentioned would not ever get consensus in the group, and that we should focus our scope to move beyond them. But I don't want to let the rest of the queue stay on the vine anymore. So I think the next hand is from David McCauley. David, please go ahead.
Greg, hi. David McCauley here. I actually think Caboose's hand was up before mine, and he's having a problem with hands, so I should defer to Caboose before I speak.
Go ahead, David. Go ahead. I will be at the end of the queue. I am patient.
Okay.
Go ahead, please, David.
Thank you, Caboose, and thank you, Greg. David McCauley for the record here. I would like to state my position as strongly in support of Thomas. And I put in the chat an email that I made on this subject. I've done this a couple times recently, in which I spoke to what I thought was a scope issue. But in addition to stating that I continue to believe as I did then, I think it's interesting to note that my email was back in September. We've discussed ICANN's headquarters location, even though I personally think it's out of scope, a number of times. It's been a discussion that's been in peaks and valleys, you know, of various intensity, but it's been a number of times that it's been at the peak. And I actually think it's time to wrap the discussion up. On the approaches that you mentioned, Greg, I would support approach B. It's time to just say the status quo is ICANN's formation is in jurisdiction, is in California, et cetera. You mentioned important words, status quo, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But I did want to, with respect, disagree with Tiago's comments with respect to what our remit is. In Annex 12, there are important predicates stated in paragraphs 26, 27, and 28 that inform the later reading. And he's right. I believe that paragraph 30 is the operative paragraph. But that paragraph says that primarily the work is with respect to settlement of disputes within ICANN involving the choice of jurisdiction and applicable laws and not necessarily the location where ICANN is incorporated. Later, where Thiago mentioned the identifying of potential alternatives, that came under a heading that said consideration of jurisdiction in Workstream 2 will focus on settlement of dispute jurisdiction issues and include certain sub-bullets. While I personally think headquarters location is out of scope, I think it's important to state why I think we should move on now. Frankly, it seems to me that for such an important matter, there should be a standard, and the standard I think is best is jurisdiction should not be changed, headquarters, unless there's a material problem that simply can't be resolved, and there's an alternative available where that problem would not exist and no new problem of materiality would be shown. That involves an inspection, a review of laws similar to what we did in Workstream 1 for any number of alternatives. I just think it's not within our scope, our time, our budget. And I think the status quo gets the advantage in this. I think in order to change the status quo, the burden is on those who would say to do it. Often in this debate, sanctions, OFAC, has been put on the table. And so I started looking on the Internet, and within 10 minutes I saw EU sanctions, I saw Swiss sanctions, I saw Australian sanctions. Sovereign nations reserve to themselves the right to impose sanctions. That's not going to change. And I think with respect to OFAC, the application of OFAC, not looking at the paper it's written on, but the experience with OFAC, is it's not been a material problem. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's not been a material problem that can't be resolved. I think Workstream 2, this subgroup, we simply don't have the experience, that we don't have the skills, the ability to deal with important questions, reasonable questions that have been raised about immunity and treaty status, but those are for other fora, not for ours, not for Workstream 2. At least that's my opinion. And I again repeat, I think what we've said a number of times in plenaries and the subgroup is, if we're going to look at alternatives, let's go back to Sidley, let's get the budget and start looking. I think that would be unwise. I just think that it's time to wrap this up. So I would support your approach, B. It's time to just say that status quo is what it is and move on. I think a holistic reading of Annex 12 is that our review should be with respect to gaps that might or might not exist with respect to enforcing the accountability measures that we just put in place for ICANN. Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you, David. I'll move to Parmenter. I think, David, that you've amply explained that position. Parmenter, please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, everyone. I would start by saying what I put in the chat window, that I find this as an extraordinary stage of our group's work, and I find it quite strange that the CCWG chairs themselves, along with the subgroup,
Excuse me, Parmenter, a number of us are having difficulty hearing you.
Okay.
So I don't know if you try to speak up or adjust your mic in some fashion.
Is it better now? Can you hear me now?
It's a little better, still very low.
Okay. I'll try to speak, but do point out if this is not, I'm not coming through. I'm trying to follow the transcript, and from that it seems that I'm still inaudible. Okay, that seems better now. Yes, so I find it quite extraordinary that the chairs of the CCWG and the chair of the subgroup have come up with such a sweeping intervention which completely changes the dimension of our work, and I do not see much basis for that in the discussions which have happened on this list, and perhaps also face-to-face in this group. So I am unable to agree with that intervention. It was the chairs and the subgroup chair who devised the formula that we would first talk about the issues and then see how those issues can be sorted out. Suddenly it seems that we have jumped to foreclose the possibilities of some solutions, which has not been argued through how we jumped to that stage. And I think you will have to build a justification of how and why we are doing what we are doing now. I don't agree with it at all. Very serious issues are being put up, which creates problems for a lot of people in the world, whether it is OFAC or judgments from courts, which are projected in the future. And people are bothered about how things would be. And no one has given solutions to those large problems. And we have now just said, whatever those problems are, we are not going to take up those given solutions, which could be among the solutions possible in the basket. That is not understandable for me. I can't understand how some of you are not responding to the problems which are being stated. And if those are not the problems, then what are the problems that we are pursuing in this group? I completely am lost in that sense. So we were talking about issues. I don't see why we have jumped to solutions. What happened from the fact that the responses did start talking about immunity, did talk about incorporation of ICANN being changed, and it has somehow triggered a panic reaction to stop the group from doing the work which it was supposed to do for the last 1 year, and a lot of people have put in a lot of effort into it. So I just do request the co-chairs to withdraw the line of action which they are proposing. Meanwhile, what I heard was that incorporation and immunity will not be discussed, and we will go forward as if these possibilities do not exist. I want to inquire how immunity at least was also included as a possibility which is not on the table, and how can the chairs exercise this kind of right to decide that we would not talk about a certain possibility which has not even been discussed, and a lot of people have described it as a immunity exists when the incorporation continues within the U.S. So this kind of an extreme intervention is completely undemocratic, uncalled for, and should be withdrawn immediately. And I would also like to know the status of the co-chair's intervention at this stage in the group's work. What status does it has right now? And then we can decide as a group how we can follow up on the statement which I heard earlier made by Thomas. A few other issues, for example, some observations by David, but I think I've been talking for some time. I'll come back later. And this is all for the present. Thank you, Greg.
Hey, thank you, Parminder. I'll move straight to Paul McGrady.
Thanks. Paul McGrady for the record. So I kind of feel like we're back where we were before we had all the clarity of last week's call, unfortunately. You know, previous speakers on this call suggest we discuss California formation. We have. We've done that at great length and repeatedly. Whether or not it's actually in scope, we've discussed it for a long time. There simply is no consensus to change from California. I think we're getting confused that you know, not agreeing with the position doesn't mean we haven't discussed the issue. It just means that there's not agreement on it. Even if we were to agree that California is out and some other jurisdiction is in, to be thorough, we would have to review each substantive jurisdiction question through the lens of all 200-plus jurisdictions, and that's impractical. Otherwise, we're just picking favorite jurisdictions of, you know, whoever happens to be on the call, which doesn't seem, you know, thorough to me. So as we can see, that's quite impractical, and another reason why there is no consensus to change from California. I'm concerned that this anti-California all-or-nothing approach is steering us dangerously close to dysfunction. If we can't even agree on the question to ask the plenary, then at some point we have to come clean and just tell the plenary that we've not been able to get to any recommendations on jurisdiction, which I think would be a shame because there are some substantive questions that and improvements that could be made within the scope of California law, which is currently the status quo. And then lastly, on the issue of immunity, this is the accountability CCWG. Immunity is the opposite of accountability. I don't feel like we've done anybody any harm by not considering adopting the opposite of what we're here to do. It would sort of like be, discussing how to improve staff opacity on a working group looking at whether or not staff should be open and transparent. I don't think that there's an obligation to discuss the opposite of what we've been chartered to do, and so I'm not going to waste too much sleep on that particular point. I would like for us to just acknowledge the fact that we've talked about this and talked about this and talked about this. We either needed to come to the conclusion as a group that we've talked about this enough and we can get on with the real work, which is not being done because we're still talking about this, or we need to go to the plenary and just tell them, listen, hey, we failed. You can either give us direction on this California issue, lay it to rest or not, and then we can get back to work, or you can just say, thanks for trying, and we can just hang up our skates. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Well stated. I appreciate the statement of your views and relatively short order. Phil Corwin, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Phil, for the record. I'll be pretty brief. We are well more than a year into this exercise. Our assignment is to follow up on a decision of the Phase 1 CCWG, which spent millions and millions of dollars creating an accountability framework that would be effective within the context of California nonprofit law. Most of us seem to believe that our job is to address further questions within that context. We have a small group within this subgroup who seem to be dissatisfied unless it comes up with a recommendation to move ICANN out of the United States and or set it up as a international organization, which was the opposite of what the transition intended. And at a certain point, endlessly intervening in our discussions to try to divert it back to an avenue for which there's clearly no consensus support within this subgroup becomes dilatory and disruptive. I would hope that those who continue to do that would work with us to address the remaining issues which are within the scope of this subgroup. We can spend years identifying this or that theoretical problem under U.S. law and looking at dozens of alternative jurisdictions, which I am sure we will find other laws that would create other problems for an organization structured as ICANN is. I don't believe personally that's a fruitful pursuit. I'll stop there. I could go on longer, but really, continually bringing this up is becoming dilatory, disruptive, and preventing us from getting our work done. And I don't know what the rules are in a CCWG within the context of a GNSO working group. It's an extreme remedy. It's not one I'm recommending now. But at a certain point, when members of a GNSO working group continue to impede its ability to complete its mission, there are remedies for that. I hope we don't get to that point. I don't know if such remedies are available in this working group, but it's clear that we're going to be wasting one more hour where we make absolutely no progress on the remaining issues before us because we have a few members who simply will not accept that their desired outcome has no consensus support. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. I hope that this two-part call will end this discussion one way or the other. So if, we have only 11 minutes left, so I'll ask Caboose to be brief and Tiago as well, especially since this is a second intervention. All right, see, Tiago has put his hand down. So we have Caboose and then Thomas.
Hello?
Caboose, please go ahead. And the queue is closed after Thomas.
Thank you very much. First, allow me to see whether I am properly heard. Is it okay? Do you hear me well, please?
Yes, hear you very well.
Yes. I think, in my view, the issue of jurisdiction is the heart of the whole process. If we fail to address this issue properly, the transition has not been properly taken place. Why the issue of change of the place of ICAN came to the table? Why? Because of the impact of the jurisdiction by which ICANN incorporation remain in California. So, rather than at this stage you discuss alternative place of incorporation, which I don't want to say no, don't discuss it, but instead of going to that directly, can you please or can we please exactly, properly, deeply discuss what is the impact of jurisdiction when I can be continued to be in California. If we address the impact, which is the worry, the anxiety, difficulty of millions of people, but not these limited number of participants from one single country and the millions of people's internauts that they are worried about the jurisdiction because of the impact of jurisdiction when ICANN is in California. If you address that impact and try to resolve the impact or minimize it or zero it down, perhaps we may come to the position that looking into an alternative may take another several years, knowing that the whole transition was based on the California law, right or wrong. But that is that. That is what Sidley pushed us in April 2015. All of them is based on that. So why not we concentrate to see what are the impacts of that and how impacts affect the people. OFAC is one of them, an example of them. And we have to also study that. OFAC, when designed in 1948, was not for the domain name, was for something else, for some other political situation prevailing at that time. Some of the people may don't remember, but some others, they remember why it was created. But now it put it automatically to apply to the domain name. So that is an example of impact. So I am not opposing to any alternative, but why not to first look at the situation and identify the impact of jurisdiction when I can continue to be in California, and then address subsidiary of that, OFAC and others. That may give us some time to really go to the heart of the problem rather than going back and forth. I don't think that the alternative change or alternative location is out of order or out of the table or off the table. It is there. But let us first talk about the impact. Is it possible that we do that? Thank you.
Thank you, Caboos. I think it's fairly clear we have two points of view here on the call. But I'll turn to Thomas. Thomas, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Greg, and thanks everyone for your contributions. I know that the direction that the co-chairs offered is not liked by everyone, and I don't expect that to be liked by everyone, but as co-chairs, we have to ensure that we, number one, follow the working principles that we have applied, and number two, that we try to navigate this group towards consensus recommendations in a timely fashion. And it is not an extraordinary decision, as it was tagged previously during this call. It is a decision that has several precedents. And for those who have not been around in Workstream 1, you will find in the transcripts and in the recordings of various meetings situations where the co-chairs had to make a determination on what recommendations should be further pursued and which recommendations should be dropped. If you don't do that at some point during the work, there will never be a result. And in this case, the group has already looked at various scenarios, impact, and I will not speak to that. Some of you have commented on that in the chat, and I think that the participants of the sub-team are much better placed than me to elaborate on the details. But I do hope that despite the fact that some of you might be disappointed with this procedural decision, that you can accept the fact that we are following what we have done from the very beginning in the CCWG in order to navigate the process to successful conclusion. And the concerns that you have put on the record will be reported when we report back to the plenary. So there is an opportunity for the plenary to comment on this, and they will also hear your concerns. And again, and let me make this abundantly clear, we had many junctions in our work where some were extremely unhappy with their proposal, and it might be procedural proposals, might be substantive proposals, could not be further pursued because they did not get sufficient support to make it to a consensus recommendation at the end of the day, where those folks were unhappy. And they took the opportunity, as foreseen in our charter, to add a minority statement to the final report. And there were opportunities, just for full transparency, where we put recommendations in our report where minority statements have been added to that, and where after the public comment period, work was revisited. So it is not entirely ruled out that that further discussions made us revisit certain topics. This has also happened in the past in the CCWG. But based on the information that we have now, based on the analysis of what has happened in this very working group, the procedural decision, as I outlined earlier, is the one that we're going to communicate to the plenary. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas. I think that what I'd like to do at this point is to take a sense of consensus or sense of the room here after this essentially two-part call. I pasted Thomas's original statement back into the chat so you can see it, but the essence, of course, is that we are, as Thomas put it, narrowing our alternatives here. So I'd like to see green checks for those. Well, first, let's handle it this way. I'd like to see any objections to Thomas's statement. If you have an objection, please give us a red cross. If you object to proceeding in this manner, please give us a red cross. Right now I'm seeing one red cross. Are there any objections, any other objections to proceeding in the manner that Thomas suggested? Since I heard a couple of other objections, I just want to make sure everyone's objections are being appropriately noted. Caboose, your hand is up. I don't know if there's an objection under that or not. I'll assume not. As Thomas noted, minority reports or can be considered. So I see a red X from Parmenter as well. So I see two objections. I see no other objections. So I will take it in this that the decision from this meeting and or pair of meetings is that we proceed in the position suggested by Thomas and approved here by the subgroup to narrow our considerations as stated. So we'll post that to the list, and then I expect this will be announced, as Thomas said, to the plenary at the next plenary session. So with that, it's now 10:01, and we should adjourn, and I expect with our next meeting of this group that we will be going back to the issues and looking at the issues again, and I think hopefully with a fierce focus on identifying issues and finding recommendations to make. Objections are noted. Okay. Thomas says, just to be clear, this is not a vote, but we will report objections to the plenary. So I see an objection from Caboose. So we do have three objections to note. In any case, thank you all for participating. We'll count Tiago as an objection as well for four objections. So I see people are dropping off as we've gone past the hour. So we will now end this call. Call is adjourned. You may stop the recording. Goodbye, all.